بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we come to the next principle from the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is a part of this deen, and is not only a part of the deen, but it is a part of the creed of the aqidah itself, which means that it is one of those things which if you deny as a Muslim, if you deny this and if you do not fulfill it, then you have exited Islam. And that is the principle of charity. Now, if you take the global worldview today, as well as the global worldview all the way back for the last 2000 years, all the way back to the Roman Empire, the global worldview is based on the principle of profit. As Frederick Bastiat, the famous French economist, he wrote in his book called The Law in 1850, 100 years ago, he said that if goods do not cross borders, troops will. If goods do not cross borders, armies will. So the issue is that the global worldview is based on profit. Now, profit obviously is not made by every citizen of the world or the country. Profit is by definition made by a few people. And that is why if you read the history of the world, and I strongly recommend, I say this again and again and again, it's an absolute tragedy that we have stopped reading history. Not only have we stopped reading history in our religious institutions, in the Darul Ulooms, history has officially been stopped as part of the syllabus. It has been removed. I don't know, this is completely insane to me to say that you will remove history from the syllabus. To me, it's a sign of absolute insanity. There is no other way for this. As a man called Norman Cousins, I think his name is, he said that history is a vast early warning system. Yeah, it's a very wonderful thing. He said history is a vast early warning system. Just think about this. The Quran, how much of the history of Bani Israel did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Quran? For what? If history was not important, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Bani Israel and this is what happened in Egypt and so on and so on and so on? For what? Because it's an early warning system. Because it teaches us, it gives us perspective, it shows us where we are going. Without history, you have no clue what you are doing. Anyway, so history shows us that the global worldview for the last 2000 years has been on one point, and it continues on that, which is profit. That is why, that is how the Roman Empire conducted itself. That was the reason for conquests. That is how, after the Roman Empire, those who inherited it, the British Empire and currently the American Empire, they all are based on this, which is profit. And that is why we have a world today in which we have eight individuals whose net worth is more than the net worth of 50% of the global population. 8 people own more than 3.5 billion people. Having said that, practically all religions also have charity as something which is good to do and so on and so forth. There is no religion which says do not do charity. Religions like Christianity, for example, have also charity as, when I say Christianity, I should not say Christianity, I should say Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, has charity as a structure of the religion itself. which is called the TITH, which is 1/10 of your income. 10% of your income, annual income, is given to the church. That is how the Catholic Church became one of the wealthiest institutions in the world. It's worth God knows trillions of God knows what dollars and so on and so forth. That's how it became, because of this charity which came to the church. So you might say, well, what is the difference between Islam and this? There are two principal differences, two very, very important differences. Number one is that in Islam, even though charity is part of the aqidah, zakat is part of the aqidah. In Islam, there are two kinds of charities. One is the compulsory charity, which is zakat, and the other one is sadaqat, which is voluntary. The compulsory charity is part of the aqidah itself. If somebody does not pay zakat, or if somebody says zakat, I don't have to pay, if he denies zakat, then the person has exited Islam. It's as simple as that. We have the instance of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passing judgment on this particular case. All the wars of Ridda were fought on this basis, which is to say that if a person refuses to pay zakat, he has exited Islam. So zakat is a part of the mandatory charity that Islam has. But the principle, as I said, the two principal differences. The first principal difference is that this zakat, or this mandated charity, is not supposed to be paid to the, within quotes, the church, meaning the structured religion as an institution. Because in Islam, alhamdulillah, there is no priesthood. There is no church in Islam. There is no pope in Islam. There is no one who speaks on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was the only one who received wahi and he spoke on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after him, there is no one who speaks or who can claim to speak on behalf of Allah. There are many people who think that their voice is the voice of God. That's a different issue. But Islam does not give anyone that authority. So therefore, charity is not, in Islam, charity is not to be given to any religious institution. There is no religious institution which speaks on behalf of God. So therefore, there is no charity to be given to a church or to the Pope or to a priest, nothing. That's one big and huge difference. Second thing is that this charity, which is mandated, is left to the individual giving the charity to give to whoever he or she likes. There are eight subjects or eight what we call mad, which is eight, you know, classes of people, categories of people to whom zakat can be given, but it is left to the individual which of those eight or how many of those eight he or she wants to give the zakat to. And as far as sadaqa, which is voluntary charity, is concerned, voluntary charity is also hugely recommended in Islam, even though it's voluntary, but it's again and again and again many times in the Quran, and from the seerah we see this, any amount of this. This is left entirely to the individual to give to whoever he wants. Now, it may be argued that you might say, well, you know, this sounds nice, but it would have been nice to have a centralized system of collection of charity and disbursement. Yes and no. Yes, it would be nice, and Islam does not prevent you from doing that. If you want to create, for example, a centralized system of collecting of zakat, Islam does not prevent you from doing that. If you want to have an organization which collects charity from a lot of people and then distributes it in terms of the need, Islam does not prevent that. But the fact that this is not mandated in Islam is a safety feature, because it does not give anybody who is starting or running such an institution the authority to say that this you have to do, or you must support, that this has the sanction of law of Islam. Nobody can say that, because it does not have that. Yes, you are doing it, it's a good thing, alhamdulillah, somebody wants to support you, that's fine. If somebody does not want to support you, that is absolutely equally fine. You cannot force someone to say, give your zakat only to my organization. Nobody can say that, because Islam does not give that authority. And this is a safety feature, because collection of power and collection of wealth in the hands of human beings always leads to corruption of some kind or the other. And there is any amount of historical data to prove this. There is no religion, there is no community, there is no country in the world where power and wealth has been concentrated in the hands of one person or a few people with the best of intentions, and over time this has corrupted, this has become corrupted, and other people have come and the whole thing has been has gone down the drain. Islam does not open the door for that. Islam keeps that is a safety feature to say, by all means, if you want to organize yourself, go ahead. But you can't say this is being done because Allah said so. No, no, Allah did not say so. Allah said give charity. Allah did not say set up an organization. Second thing is, in Islam, unlike other religions, charity is to give to those who need it, not to give to priests. For example, in the Hindu religion also, there is a recommendation as far as charity is concerned. There are various rituals and whatnot, but all of them end up in feeding the priests. So it is not feeding the poor, but feeding the priests, which is the punya, which is the which is a charitable deed, which is a deed which earns, which they believe earns them reward. So again, it comes to, in Islam we say no, there is no feeding any priest. First of all, there is no priest, and secondly, feeding them is not the issue. The issue is feed the poor, give money to those who need it. And charity is not only money, charity is in every kind of form. So the basic principle, as I said, the difference between the worldview, global worldview, modern as well as ancient, is profit. The global worldview of Islam is charity. You think about that, at a macroeconomic level, the Islamic worldview actually is more beneficial, and within quotes is more profitable than the worldview of profit, for a very simple reason, which is that Islamic worldview seeks to bring up everybody in society. We are not looking at as absolute, you know, equality between everybody and everyone is earning $10. We are not saying that. There will always be people who are wealthy and people who are not wealthy. But the kind of disparity of wealth that we see today, where there is, on the one hand, somebody who is, at the absolute apex of wealth, and the other person is in absolute state of destitution, this will not be there. In Islam, there is a level where everyone comes up to a basic level, and then whoever goes ahead, goes ahead. And that way, therefore, the economy gets expanded. That way, therefore, the buying power gets expanded. Disposable wealth gets expanded, right? Distribution of wealth gets expanded. Umar sent me, I'll ask him to send that video with this Fajr reminder. Umar sent me a very nice video which somebody did, which traces the growth of GDP over a number of years of different countries. A very interesting video, that's the way it has been done, and you can see how GDP of countries has moved and how China came from nowhere to the number two position, and how America has more or less remained in the same position as number one throughout. Right, so it's interesting to see that. But what I was, when I saw that video, I said what would be interesting is if somebody can also do a comparative analysis of the distribution of wealth, because GDP is a very deceptive number. It doesn't give you any indication of distribution of wealth. You can have countries with huge disparities of income where the GDP is very high, but also poverty is very high. Yeah, India is a classic example of this, right? China also is a classic example of that. So it doesn't tell you that necessarily that people are happy. People may not be happy, but you have a few industries, a few sources of income which boost up your GDP, and it looks nice as a GDP figure, but the country actually is full of very poor people. Now, with the Islamic system of charity, of mandatory charity as well as voluntary charity, this will not happen. You will have a distribution of income, distribution of wealth to such an extent that people are not in a state of destitution, people are not in a state of need, people will have what they want, and therefore there is hope for them. Therefore, poverty in terms of absolute abject poverty below poverty line does not exist or cannot exist if we apply the Islamic system. So this is the beauty as far as charity is concerned, which is an intrinsic part of our aqidah, of our creed, and which is very distinctly different from charity as recommended or mandated in any other way of being or any other religion. The important thing as far as these lectures are concerned, I think yesterday also we were talking about discrimination and so on, today we are talking about charity, is to bring it back to our own lives and say, where do I find a reflection of this in my life? So if you're looking at discrimination, we're saying that non-discrimination is Islam, then am I doing discrimination or non-discrimination in my own life? What does my life show? What is my daily, my behavior, my attitude and so on? What is it? Does it show discrimination or does it show non-discrimination? To examine ourselves. Similarly, as far as charity is concerned, how much charity do I give? What should I give? How much should I give? The beauty of Islam is that charity has been taken, and we will talk more about this tomorrow. Charity has been made into the approach to charity is very different in Islam as compared to any other religion. Inshallah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. So for today, let us look at ourselves and say, as far as charity is concerned, how much am I giving? Is this enough or is it not enough? And how do you know it's enough? So that's the point I want to leave you at. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ